Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life, and a new type of episode. We decided, Rupert and I, that we wanted to do some episodes where we focus on brand new artists who we think are good, let them come on the podcast, talk about what their influences are, what their music's about. And with that in mind, I present to you our first in that new series, and that is with a rapper called Jazz Kahina. I became aware of her stuff about maybe a year and a half ago, and I really like it, man. She's like super lyrical, and she obviously loves her hip-hop. So enjoy Hip Hop Saved My Life, a brand new series showcasing new artists. We haven't thought a name of it yet. Enjoy.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. We are joined by rapper Jazz Kahina. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great.
Thank you for coming onto the podcast. Yeah,
thank you for inviting me. I'm a fan.
Yes, well, we're fans of you. So, God, that sounded so insincere, but I didn't.
So reciprocal.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I can feel the reciprocity.
Yes. Now, how's life treating you?
All right. It's kind of chaotic, I guess.
In what way?
Well, some holidays.
Yeah.
And I kind of part-time teach, so I wasn't doing that. And then it's just the kids are like half at mine and half at their dad's, so I've kind of had all this weird free time. It just throws me off a bit, the routine.
So you got two kids, right?
Yeah.
And how old are they?
6 and 11.
So that's difficult, isn't it? 11 and 6. Is that difficult
combo?
Yeah,
a bit, yeah. I think it's always difficult.
Mm. Yeah.
But they're both fun ages in different ways.
Yeah.
I
yeah. Yeah, I'm struggling with parenting, if I'm being honest with you. I just don't feel like I'm giving the kids what they need.
What do you think they need?
Well, they need guidance and like a role model.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking not
parenting is basically just like 89% chronic guilt.
Yes.
Forever.
So you're not doing enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And well, like, I've just accepted that. Just you're going to feel guilty all the time. So, you know.
They're not grateful anyway.
Roll with
even
it.
When you do step up.
No, they are.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is true.
So.
But I tell you what I've started to get paranoid about recently. Sorry, we'll get on tip off in a sec. But I'm just. It's just that it's something that's been playing on my mind. Is that I can think of things that my mum said to me that have given me hang-ups that have lasted to this day, like about my weight and shit like that.
From when you were young?
From when I was like 10 or 11. Mm. And now I'm constantly scouring. So recently, we were on holiday and we're playing, this is so sad, we're playing Uno, right? And one of the kids started screaming about like, he was losing at Uno. Mm. And so I said to him, you can't scream. And then he screamed. And then I just screamed back at him. And then he started like crying his eyes out. And I thought I was just doing like for like, teaching him a lesson. But then I just thought, that's going to fucking scar him, man. His dad's screaming in his face.
Just keep doing it.
I reckon it's what you think might not that does. Because
you're so busy
worrying about what scarred you that you're kind of ignoring the scarring bits.
It's the throwaway comments.
So
you're a part-time teacher and a parent and you're smashing out a rap career. How does that work?
I can't really do anything unless I have deadlines, so I just make my life like kind of as stressful as possible, and then I'm productive.
Okay. Yeah. So you work under sort of anxiety.
Yeah. So if I was like, I don't know, had all the free time, was unemployed, I probably wouldn't do any music either. I'd just do nothing.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
I need that kind of repeated cycle of different stress events and deadlines.
Yeah. No. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing your own stuff?
I hate answering this because I feel like I'm either not giving myself the kind of, like, doing myself a disservice if I don't say how long. But then when I say how long, I feel like I should be, like, amazing at it. So I started writing lyrics probably when I was like 14.
Okay.
But the first time I like released the proper single with a video, I was like 23 or 4. So that's 2011.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But and on what, and off.
Right, right, right. And so because the way what you just said, you sort of went, I feel like I should be amazing or whatever. Do you feel like you haven't got where you want to get in the time that you've been doing?
Well, not yeah. What I mean is, I think I like should have a bigger back catalogue.
Oh, I but, see. Right, be more I think, prolific. I mean, you mean?
Yeah, and also, had I been doing music consistently for that long, I know I would have developed like my sound a bit more. So right now, I feel like I'm developing my sound more than I have before.
Right.
But I feel like this could have happened, you know, earlier. But having said that, I think everything has its time as well.
How
but,
would you describe your sound then to for people that haven't heard your stuff?
God.
Don't like, worry, if you struggle to answer this question, we'll just play one of your songs. It'll be absolutely fine.
Daddy was a rebel, he was on the movement. Daddy on his music, now I've got the mic up. I'm on two juices, in all rap, the booth do this ruthless. In all rap, the pick size, you're useless. Ain't no time to be nice, that's fruitless. Why they taking our lives too stupid? Why they say we're too rude? They're shooting terrorists, guerrillas, freedom fighters. Justice for the righteous, lifers. Black Panthers, FLN violence. Freed us in our minds, not kindness. Airstrikes on my kin, trying to mine us. Brown skin one time on assignments. Homicidal, straight terrorizers. Gone viral, live, you riding.
I think it like, it reflects what I'm like. So like, I feel like I don't really have a specific sound. Like right. I have boom bappy type songs, got different tempo stuff. But I think it's like a spectrum of personality, basically.
Right.
So like, you might get aggressive me, like, oh, fuck it, me. Or yeah. You might get introspective me. You might get politically angry me. You might get obsessive.
You're a passionate Brexit voter, aren't you?
Stalker me. Yeah, exactly. Hyped exactly.
For the 31st.
I mean, yeah. If you've heard, you know, Brexit,
yeah.
Here we come,
yeah,
my
Europe.
Anthem. Yeah.
You'll know that. It.
Yeah.
So you're kind of, you've kind of got a versatile kind of style, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like self deprecating single mum having a lager binge.
Yeah.
And caring about the world.
Why am I starting trouble? Maybe because I hate myself. Maybe. Or is it because I hate the rich and want to take their wealth? Be never big, I'm stealth. Please just take the L. See the big boys battered by the Aggie girl. I got the bloody hump. I heard the news from Trump. He wants to block out all my family and grab my cunt. I'm from the land of sands. Ain't got a fucking tan. But still kind of yellow like my liver needs a hand. I love
but
the
how I would describe your sound.
That's great.
It's sort of like golden era hip hop, yeah. To me, because like it's sort of like you obviously care about your flow, you know, your lyric. You're a rapper that cares about the quality of. I mean, everybody cares about the quality of what they're doing, but what I mean is like you care about flow, about lyrical skills and stuff. Don't you?
Definitely,
that's sort of
important
to you.
Yeah, I see what you mean now. Yeah, so I would definitely describe myself as lyrical, definitely, and. My process take quite a long time to make stuff.
Right.
It has to be just kind of so. So, yeah. My inspiration is definitely 90s, probably golden era.
Yeah.
But I like to think I kind of go outside of those boundaries a bit as well.
Yeah.
Here's a little bit that we like to call, how did you get into hip-hop?
How did you get into it all? What's your sort of journey into hip-hop?
So, earliest stuff will probably be like the kind of rap you'd hear on the radio. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, like Salt and Pepper, like Shoo-Pee.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Yeah.
That,
course,
like.
Do I know that one? Of course I fucking know that one.
Listen to it on the way
in. Here I go again, girls. Yeah. What's my weakness? Yeah. Okay, then chilling, minding my business. Word. Your souls, I looked around and I couldn't believe this. I swear, I stand, my niece, my witness. The brother had it going over something kind of.
My first live gig was Salt and Pepper.
Was it?
Really?
I must have said this before. It was Crawley Leisure Centre.
Yeah.
Crawley they came to Crawley Leisure Centre?
Yeah, of course they fucking did, Jazz. Okay.
Everyone does.
No, actually, that's not true. No, yeah, Salt and Pepper, supported by Subsonic 2.
Great.
Yeah, just like, you know those random rap hits here on the radio? Like, do you remember that Come Baby, Come Baby, Baby, Come?
K-9.
Come. Yeah, exactly, yeah. And Regulate or whatever. My sister used to get mixtapes from her friends, so that was my kind of a way into like the Beastie Boys. Cypress Hill was on there as well. I used to listen to the radio a lot, so I'd go through the tuner and press record like when I heard something I liked.
Yeah.
And when I realised I kind of liked hip-hop, so it's probably from my sister's tapes mainly, like Ill Communication, the Beastie Boys, and I really loved that. And I was kind of trying to seek it everywhere. I didn't have any money, so like I remember going to the library. And they
that
had...
is where you find hip-hop.
I think I used to do that, yeah. And you could record them, couldn't you?
Well, I was a lover of my local library anyway, you see. I was a bit of a book nerd. But they had Mastercuts Hip Hop Classics Volume 2.
Yeah.
So that had all like Public Enemy on it, Ultramagnetic MCs, stuff like that.
So mm-hmm. when you borrowed this stuff from the library,
yeah,
were you recording it?
Yeah, I did that.
I don't think I had a double tape deck, or my dad maybe did, but I don't think I had a double
but
one.
But what you were doing was piracy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I just kept the tape. Yeah, I don't think I gave it back.
Kept the tape?
What about the fines?
Oh, so what you're doing is theft. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I thought...
Which is better.
But it's kind of... It's like not premeditated because it's borrowed anyway and then you just hang on to it.
No. I think you're playing fast and loose with the word premeditated there.
You still have it.
Oh, no, I had it for years.
What, if you're saying it's not premeditated, what that suggests is you borrowed it with the intention of giving it back and then just forgot to give it back. Is
maybe
that
but
if
I'll
you
find
go,
it
if
one
you
day.
Go to the library and go, I'm going to borrow this album and I'm never going to give it back, that's premeditated.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I've not got a legal qualification. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
That's why all the libraries have shut down.
Yes, exactly. Because Mastercuts. They're making most of their money from the Mastercuts compilations.
Yeah. There's a queue of angry people waiting for that tape.
To come back.
I'll tell you what, listen, if you don't get down. Mastercuts Volume 2 back, we're shutting this fucking facility
down. And that's come from the government.
Yeah.
A lot of hip-hop I listen to came from the Chubby Kids rap show because they played great stuff. I don't know if you ever listened to it.
I didn't. Oh,
what's that?
So Shorty Blitz and Big Ted used to have a show.
Kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was every Wednesday night and I've still got the tapes that I used to record off of it. So like they'd play things like Slum Village, Conan Gardens. So like there's a little, I'll get that album. Mm. They'd play Lucini, aka This Is It. So yeah, like, that album. So that was like a lot of
Lucini,
my way into
what a fucking tune, by the way.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But I couldn't
understand a fucking word.
Neither could I.
Introducing Phantom of the Dark, walk through my heaven with levitation from reefers, trench and deepest and each seven showboating with rugas, flash vines, Belafonte digger. Let's get forward this work as we confiscate your figures. Chasing over brown, levitating, jiki and ashikis, the Lahada car, 54, chasing diamond runners, headed ice band. The big chiller diamond convention, Harlem Buck strut, freezing world heights. Hollywood,
completely unintelligible.
Yeah.
So I didn't know who they were. I missed who it was.
Right.
I just said, I was addicted to the
breaks, amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I used to go on this forum called bringthenoise.com.
Right.
It's a Public Enemy forum.
Yeah.
So I remember, like, does anyone know what this is? And I'm like, what did I.
So what
I'm
did
trying
you
to type
out,
the lyrics.
Da-da.
I was like, da-da. This is it. What? Oh, what was I said? What? Falling from the sky? I was just like making up words, but it was enough words for somebody to eventually get back to me and tell, they're like, that's not the lyrics, but this is what you're looking for.
That's such a satisfying way to fine tune that you have to put the work in.
There's that
it?
Clip that went viral on Instagram. I mean, I think it's from years ago, where it's like a Spanish or South American radio station, and the guy's going, but they're like, quiero Reebok or Nike. And the guy's going, what? And it's like, they've got the subtitles, they're going, the song that goes, Reebok or Nike.
Mm.
And he's going, I don't know what song you're talking about. And they keep going on. He goes, it goes, oh, yeah, Reebok or Nike. And it's Rhythm of the Night.
This is the Rhythm of the Night.
It is a great way of finding.
I actually think a lot of that 90s dance stuff was part of my way into hip-hop as well. And even Jungle. Because, I think I used to have, Cool FM right next door or something.
Right.
Like, it was a lot of Jungle in Hackney's in the 90s. And, you know, things like Super Sharp Shooter and all that stuff, like a lot of it was hip-hop sampled. So I heard a lot of hip-hop samples on Jungle before I knew the original tracks.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, that's that Jungle tune.
Yeah.
And also Dancehall as well. So I feel like as a kind of Londoner or in the UK, that your way into hip-hop is also probably going to be influenced by those other sounds that were quite big at the time as well.
We just had Kano in and he said exactly the same thing.
Did he?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Funny, I feel like most people are always like, everyone I know that's into hip-hop is always through like Snoop Dogg or NWA or something. That I wasn't exposed to them until way later.
Hold up. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What was the first kind of album that you really got into?
Beastie Boys, Ill Communication.
Right.
Okay. I went a bit backwards. So Ill Communication is when they're on their like self-improvement vibe. So it's a bit of a later album. And it actually really affected me. Like I've been vegetarian since I was 12 because of that album, basically. Right. But I just love the sound of it. It's like the rawness of it.
Have you read their book?
Yeah, but I read it a long, long time ago.
Right. I've got it, but I've not got round to it.
What that means is...
it's sitting on a shelf.
You've got
looking
a copy,
good.
You're never going to fucking look at it, are you?
It doesn't sort of lend itself to a beach read.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, because I read it while away, and I sort of regretted taking it out. Because it's like massive, do you know what I mean?
Is it?
Yeah.
What, are we talking about the same book? When did it come out?
Like last year.
Oh.
Year before. Yeah.
Oh, no, I read a book that came out like, I don't know, how many years ago, 15 years ago or something.
Oh.
No, I don't know what book you're talking about.
It's their autobiography.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, the early stories about what they were like when they first started, they come across like real pricks.
Yeah.
Like they were real like shit. Yeah. But it's fascinating. And then they've got like... the music, they sort of list the records that they're into at the time of making different albums and stuff like that. It's really good. There's this really terrifying story where they're about to do a gig and then ate too many hash cakes. And then just, they really, like, sort of fucking got really stoned, like, just before they're about to go on.
Like a big gig.
Yeah. And then just were just shitting themselves the entire time on stage. Like.
I remember reading a 24-ounce omelette egg story of theirs that Mike D, like, ate a 24-egg omelette and they had to take him to hospital. Sounds like one of those stupid.
It sounds
rumors.
Like something you should abandon, like, I don't know, 8 eggs in.
Yeah.
Because he can't have suddenly felt bad after he finished it. He must have been like midway through it.
Yeah.
I thought, fucking hell, I'm going to feel a bit ropey after
it. It's a good. I think it's lies anyway.
24 egg omelette. So, I mean, I'm a
I can't imagine what that tastes like.
Well, it tastes a lot like a 2 egg omelette.
Yeah.
But it's just more
though?
Of it. What, it doesn't change the taste of it. What the fuck are you talking about?
It must be like.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I've had some of those hash browns.
So Beastie Boys, right?
The thing is, I stopped listening to them a long time ago, really. So I don't really listen to them anymore. But no. I listened to them for years. I listened to them every night before I went to sleep. I listened to them when I was skating for hours and hours and hours. I used to skate. So yeah, it was like a soundtrack of my life for a few years. That one album.
Yeah.
Hey man, what's your favorite hip hop album?
And is that your favorite? Is that your favorite album? Is it?
No, I wouldn't say it's my favourite. I hate favourite questions.
Yeah,
I hate any kind of top 10.
Yeah, you did say you're a fan of the podcast, though. You know that we ask everyone that.
What's your favourite podcast?
I don't mind listening to other people's favourite. Oh.
We can give you a group. You can do a few if you want.
Okay, so I'd say 36 Chambers.
Yeah.
Definitely one of my favourites. Again, I listened to it quite young and it just proper caught my imagination. Like it was really emotive, but also it had like a range of different sounds in it. So you had these kind of like rolling, like boom bappy things that you could hear Cypress Hill on or even the Beastie Boys. It had these dark beats on it. It had horrorcore elements, it had fantasy elements, but I just never heard anything like it.
Ghost face, catch the blast of a hype verse. My clock burst, leaving a hearse. I did worse. I come rough, tough like an elephant tusk. Your head rush, fly like Egyptian musk. Oh shit, retain clear, spark the Wixen. However, I mastered a trick just like Nixon.
I was just like totally immersed in like whatever they were talking about.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because that album is like amazing. And I love, I mean, like Ghostface has just put out a new album.
Oh yeah, what's that like?
Fucking amazing.
I haven't heard it.
Oh my God. But I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Do you know what I mean? Like, no. It's impenetrable.
Yeah. Mm.
But, like, it's great, man. I love it. That's the thing with Wu-Tang. I remember, like, everything about Wu-Tang was so great, like, how many of them there were, their names, the imagery, the logo, all of that shit. And also the fact that when they came out, hip-hop, there's no hip-hop like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was mad. But anyway.
I quite like that abstract style as well, where you're like, you don't really know what they're talking about, but they're painting a picture.
Yes. Yeah. I sort of catch, particularly with Raekwon, I catch little bits of what he's saying. And I go, okay, so he's in a noodle house. I wonder what's going to go down next. You know what I mean? Like, and then I get lost again. Okay, so Wu-Tang and anything else?
Wu-Tang, DMX was one of my, I mean, for me, favourite albums. So I don't go the way of what are the best albums I've listened to necessarily. I go with the ones that have
had the most impact.
I'm emotionally attached to, basically, and have a most impact. So DMX, It's Dark and Hell is Hot. Show you shit is real, and I ain't really never gave a fuck how niggas feel. Rob and I steal, because I want to, because I have to. And don't make me show you with the Mac. Come on, if you don't know by now, then you slip. I'm on some bullshit that's got me jacking niggas flip. Let my man in them stay pretty, but I'm gonna stay shitty. Cruddy, it's all for the money. Is you with me?
Are you a DMX fan, right?
Yeah, ish, yeah.
What do you mean, ish?
Well, I don't listen to him anymore.
You don't listen to him, okay.
I do watch him, though. That I think I might have mentioned it before, that YouTube video of him, My Fairground Ride. I go back to it quite a lot. One of those, like, sling things.
Yeah,
he's just trying to be, like, hard as nails at the top. And by the time it's released, he's absolutely
shitting himself. I don't want to see that.
That's incredible.
Do you know what I think? DMX, I love DMX. But I do find DMX is somebody who I would be embarrassed to play to a non-hip-hop fan.
Yeah.
Not because it's shit, but because his voice is so cartoony.
Yeah, that's it.
If you go, oh, you listen to hip-hop, play me some hip-hop. Here we go! You know, I just know that my friends just be like, okay, Mum, you're a fan.
This doesn't happen to me. I don't feel like this happens to me. Like, if you're not into hip-hop, I'm not gonna fucking play you any. Go and listen to your own.
I know, yeah, you're right. But it's just like, you know, I wouldn't ever let my wife hear DMX.
This is not a fucking
game. Yeah, exactly.
Game.
Yeah, like all that. She's been looking at me like you're a fucking adult.
You're immature, yeah.
It's just because, it's just sort of, you know.
I understand, but I mean, I did get really into this stuff when I was a kid. I don't know.
X gonna give it to you. Mm, put that on now. Yeah. Fucking great. Yeah. Just not when your wife's there.
Yeah. But I was totally into it, the whole conversations with God.
Yeah.
The, like, he's like in a perpetual existential crisis, basically. Yeah. And I related to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that album, man. Like, I still get goosebumps when I hear Stop Being Greedy.
Yeah.
I actually saw him live, got to see him live
what
when
was
I was 15.
Like?
It was amazing.
I don't know anyone that's seen DMX live.
Really?
Yeah.
I was 15. Yeah. It's 2000, the year 2000, Stratford Rex. None of my male friends would come with me, so I went with my little friend Tasha.
None of your male friends would come with you to see DMX?
No, too scared.
Too scared?
I'm too scared. I mean, I think back then, maybe, if you're not from an area, sometimes you don't go to an area. I feel
actually,
like it's a bit left like that now.
I'm saying that so cocky, like I would go wherever. I do remember, like, if you're into hip hop, sometimes you'd be like, I really want to see that, but not there.
Yes,
it's not so much an issue now, is it? I don't think.
I went in my Wu-Wear jeans, in my FUBU top, looking like a clown. But it was amazing. Like, it wasn't till 6 a.m, which is amazing to have like a concert club thing. I know.
What time did it start?
5:30 a.m.
I had to get a cab home at 1. I think that was the condition.
And you missed DMX.
Yeah.
No, I got to see X, but it was like just full of people and Avirexes.
Right.
I've never seen that many Avirexes in my life. And it was like completely rammed. It was like a sweat box. I could smell crack. I think it was probably in retrospect like Coke cigarettes. But it was disgusting. It was like leather and Coke cigarettes. And I fainted twice because it was so, like, potent.
Yeah.
And it was
just the raw leather.
Raw leather,
combined
yeah,
with Coke.
Dead cow and fucking drugs. Yeah. 57th Dynasty was supporting. They did really well. But, yeah, DMX, he came on with, like, oxygen tanks. I don't know if this was, like, part of that or if he genuinely needed them. But,
he came
yeah,
with oxygen tanks?
Yeah.
What, like cover?
Like a big tank of oxygen, like on standby.
Wow.
And I remember him looking really small. But it was magical. It was amazing, man. But I had to go home at 1 a.m. being
was
15.
He finished by then?
Yeah, yeah, he was off by then.
Right.
But I bet there was a great after party.
Absolutely,
you know?
Smashing through that tank of oxygen, I imagine.
Exactly, high off the oxygen.
And what are you listening to at the moment?
I'm not very good at listening to new stuff. It takes me ages. So I kind of delved back into like 80s soul.
Right. So what 80s soul are we talking about?
I don't know, Gap Band, stuff like that, Isley Brothers. But the newest stuff that I got onto more recently, Megan Thee Stallion. Handle me? Who gon' handle me? Thinking he's a player, he's a member on the team. He put in all that work, he wanna be the MVP. I told him ain't no taming me, I love my niggas equally. Fucking 9 to 5. Love her. She kind of got...
Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Is
Hot Girl Meg.
Pronounce it?
I think so. Chester P's new stuff, I think, is amazing. As is his old stuff. Smoke some weed, I hold the fresh and then pop some tranks. Take a walk through my ends. While I'm here, I just like to thank my mom and dad. Dave's new album, latest album, amazing. That was an emotional journey.
What about your stuff? Have you got your working towards the album?
Well, last thing I released was November, so it's an EP called School Run. And I decided I'm just going to do singles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want to do a few singles. So I've got a single coming out next month.
Called?
The Reckoning. It's a bit of a kind of another horror. It was about, last Halloween I did a kind of similar horror themed one, Fatal Attraction.
And you're doing a video for The Reckoning?
I'm doing a video, yeah.
Have you done it yet or not?
No, I'm shooting it at the end of the month.
And is it going to be a horror video?
A bit, yeah. A little bit, yeah.
I like horror stuff.
Do you?
Get some masks. Picture that. You probably already planned this, but I think masks.
There's no masks in it. Get I don't think
masks.
There's any masks.
You sound
in
so
it.
Sinister.
I know. I was trying to be Halloweeny.
Get some masks.
I thought you were about to make your own video. To be in it.
Make your own mask video.
I'd love to make a horror film.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, man. Mm. I mean, music videos are kind of a chance to make a mini film.
Yeah. Mm.
So, like, I've done a music video based on Videodrome, I've done a music video based on Fatal Attraction. This video isn't based on a film.
Do you direct them? Or have
I didn't direct Videodrome, but my latest single, Quitter, I shot it kind of point of view, so I obviously directed it because it's just me on my own. Mood swings leave my head like a joyless part. My heart, is it broken or mending? Or maybe it's sending for me slyly. Bitch, don't try me if I bleed, you bleed. Calm as anything, I've been the whole 8 years. I ate fears because I recently ran out of tears. Though he stays the other side of Hackney. Our rings remain united in the ashtray. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah,
but
it's great.
Me, rolling around on a skateboard with, like, I had the GoPro in my mouth.
That's
were you on your own?
Well, I looked like I was on my own.
You know, you could just put it on your head, though. Or did you want that?
I felt like it wouldn't be...
Hold on. Why is that better?
Well, it'd be a hard, long day with a GoPro in your mouth.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. But then if you put it on your head, you've got to wear that fucking strap thing, haven't you?
Yeah, which looks better.
The thing is, I feel like...
Less madder, I think.
You're kind of clenching the thing with your jaw. It's like a gum shield.
Yeah.
But on your head, I feel like it's kind of less secure. So one of the shots I did, I fall off my board. And I didn't want to fall off the board and it kind of slam onto the ground. So I thought the most secure thing would be a mouth-mounted one.
Yeah.
And I did a bit of research and apparently it looks better from that point of view. Anyway.
Okay, so there you go. That's your little point. Absolutely shut up.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked into this.
Yeah, so a specific GoPro accessory that you can wear?
It's for surfers, I think.
Oh,
it's aimed at surfers.
I'll be honest with you. When you said you put it in your mouth, I just assumed that you'd put it in between your jaws.
Just the whole camera.
Yeah. Honestly, that's what, down on it. That is, until you said that, that is what I'd assumed had happened.
Yeah, same here.
It's attached to a gum shield.
We really
are
a pair of fucking idiots, aren't we?
You can
I'm
do
so
that.
Sorry about
that. You actually can do that. You've got a big mouth.
Yeah, but oh my god.
You should film your next tour show like that.
I can't get used to that self-filming thing, because I know loads of comedians do it and loads of rappers do it.
Self-filming?
You know when, like, you sort of walk around with it on a stick and sort of capture stuff that you want to? I just feel like too much of a cunt.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
No, not at all.
Talking about your... By the way, this is not me talking about your video. I'm just talking about...
I know,
when people capture... Like, they go, this is, like, so I'm arriving at blah, blah, blah. If you'd have asked me a few years ago if I'd have been performing at this thing, I never would have believed it. And then it's like, fucking check that out and all that. I can't do all that.
But neither can I. Like, just the whole self-promotion thing of, like, you feeling like you perpetually have to kind of provide some content,
even if it's the fact
you're in a vaguely interesting looking building. I mean, I don't care when other people are doing either, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like we're all pretending we all care.
Yes.
I feel like we're all providing our own angst. Like, if we all just agree we don't care, we don't have to do it anymore.
That's a really good idea. That's a really good
Do you know
point.
What I mean?
Yeah, totally. So, live shows.
Any favourites? Yeah, that DMX show was one of my live show highlights. Especially, it was one of my first, I guess. My first was the Beastie Boys at Wembley Arena or something. But they were like on a rotating stage.
I went to that gig.
Did you?
Yeah, in the middle.
Were you there?
Yeah.
They were like dressed as scientists and the stage was rotating. EPMD at the Forum. I've seen
them
at
like?
The Forum twice. Amazing. I think their like tracks are really good for live, aren't they? Cass is Dead. It's very exciting. Every live show.
We saw him. We had him live on the podcast.
Have you been to a Cass is Dead show?
He came and performed at the Hip Hop Saved My Life live.
So he had to come to you.
Yeah.
Well, no, he didn't have to, but
he agreed to.
But it's fucking weird.
Is it?
It's just because he's like obviously such a character.
Yeah.
And he's
got
like
such
that
a presence.
Like, yeah. It's just as soon as he arrived, everyone's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like
he was in his mask the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
And then you realise it's really fucking weird talking to somebody when you can't see their facial expressions.
It's horrible,
because I've met him before and I was like, oh, this is fucking awkward as fuck. Like, I didn't realise how much I rely on not just seeing someone's eyes to actually talk to them. But I think what's great about his live shows is his fans are so dedicated and so kind of like enthusiastic that makes the show, not just the stage show where he's obviously got the Dead team on stage and everything, but it's also the fans. They're so kind of mental. But every live show I go to, I'm the one that pushes to the front and starts a mosh pit. That's me, a live show.
I like sitting down at the back.
Yeah, I do. Mm. I like sitting outside and waiting for somebody to tell me it's gone quiet and I can go in and sort of see some of the down tempo stuff. And then when it starts getting rowdy again, I go back outside with like a sandwich or something.
Oh, no, I'm a bit like that in like any situation. Like, oh, so I probably sound so irritating, but like a work meeting or like training or something like that. If I'm not really engaged with what's going on, I'm just going to turn off. So I need to be like in there. I need to be talking. I need to be interacting. And the same for me at a show. Like, if I'm not engaged, I think, I don't know, I can't remember if it was you that kind of admitted to this, where you're like, you've gone to a show of someone you really want to see, you're secretly hoping they just like hurry up and finish.
Oh, mate, that happens to me every fucking time.
Like, I should really be enjoying this.
When they come back out, I'm
please
just
like, be your last song.
Mate, I can't, because I have to stay to feel like I've got my money's worth. But also, fuck off.
So for me, if I don't feel like that, that is a hallmark of a great live show.
Right.
If you've left me wanting more, you must be really good, because I generally just want you to hurry up and finish, I suppose.
Plug one, plug two, guest plugs for you.
Okay, well, I think we're almost out of time, Jess, but could you tell us what's coming up for you? Sort of alluded to it a bit, but what you got coming up?
I got that single. Well, not much really. I mean, I don't plan that far ahead. So actually, I've got loads of fucking videos to record. Yeah, I've got a few
just
singles coming out.
Yeah,
I've got a few singles
coming
out.
It's good. We sort of like to operate as like kind of a to-do list for people that come on.
Yeah.
So it's good for us to remind you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
out.
It. I've got a dissertation to write.
We can help with that.
What's a dissertation on?
That I need to decide.
Okay. Fine.
But the master's is ethnicity, culture, diaspora. So something about post-colonialism or gender.
I'll knock something up for you. How many words has it got to be? 10,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 12, 10 to 12. Yeah.
I'll get across to you sort of later on.
That would be great. Thank you.
Where can we check out all your stuff?
Well, if you put Jazz Kahina in anything, really, like YouTube or Instagram, all my things are just Jazz Kahina, J-A-Z. Kina, so
check it out.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on.
We
appreciate it.
Hey there.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.